to Bellwether Friends. Definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like. You should trust us, because we're librarians. I'm Anna, and my pronouns are she and her.
I'm Aline, and my pronouns are she and her.
Whenever we feel like it, we will get together with someone and chat about a pop culture topic or two, what we think and how we feel. We'll end the show with our current obsessions. This is episode number 113, the Abisode.
Oh, Abisode 113.
Got it?
Love it. What's the date today? Never mind. It doesn't matter.
January.
Is it really?
I don't know.
Huh.
By the time this is released, though, it's probably going to be February.
If not March.
So you may have heard her laughing at my hilarious introduction. Our guest today is Renata of the Worst Bestsellers.
Hello.
Yay. Hi, Renata. We're so glad you could be with us.
So happy to be here. Can I point out, you mentioned the date is January 20th, which is Martin Luther King Day, which we are this is a very white way to be spending this day.
It is the whitest possible way.
I just want to point that out.
Let's congratulate ourselves on that.
International appreciation
of the white
of whiteness
of white fans.
Yes.
Okay. this is a very good point.
Okay, yeah.
But you know what though? I don't want to give away what we're talking about because you haven't said it yet. I don't know if you have something planned out. I don't want to ruin it.
But.
Well, I think that this band does have international appeal and, like, does transcend borders because when I was growing up, like, my best friend in middle school and high school, her family was from Bangladesh. Like, my friend was second generation and her parents loved ABBA. And I would, like, go to their house and they were always playing ABBA music. Like, more than once I watched... I don't think it was behind the music, but like some, like we'd watch TV specials about ABBA that they had like recorded on VHS tape. So, you know, I truly do think that people of all colors and all walks of life can enjoy this.
The completely bland, cheery pop.
Yeah.
Cheery Swedish pop.
Inimitably danceable.
Right. So it is generically appealing.
You know what? I guess it won't be a surprise because when people are listening to this, like, it will say it in the text.
Yeah, it will say Abisode, and they'll be like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So,
we're talking about ABBA people, okay?
A-B-B-A. We're going to talk about ABBA.
It's a palindrome. That's what I like about it.
So I need to know about the standardization of ABBA. Is it all caps?
I capitalize it because it's all their first initials of their names.
Okay. Where does Frida come in?
I think she's Anna Fried, isn't she?
So the first initial of that name is A.
Okay, that's great. So there, all appearances to the contrary, we do have a plan for this episode.
Yeah, I want to know your ABBA origin story.
Yes, what is your ABBA origin story? We're going to start with me, because I am the oldest.
Oh, yeah.
And because I remember my mom had a double album, two-disc vinyl disc
I was gonna say
record of ABBA's greatest hits.
Okay.
And you opened it up and there was like it was a long picture of all four of them laughing in prime 70s fashion. I will add a photo to the show notes. And it had all of these great songs on it, but this ABBA greatest hits album does not match ABBA Gold. And sometime after that album was purchased, their Dancing Queen album came out, and my mom bought it. And there was a record player in my room, and I was 7 or 8, and I played the album Dancing Queen so hard that it didn't work anymore.
Okay, so what I'm gathering from this story is, A,
I was a child
you're
in the 70s.
That you were alive when ABBA was producing new music. B, you have owned your own record player and played records on it as a child.
You didn't know that about me?
I figured it out.
When my mom got married, I got her stereo equipment.
I had my mom's portable it has a handle.
Yeah, no, I had a stereo set up in my room.
That she took with her to college.
Oh, golly. We still have that.
Yeah.
It's in the garage.
It is.
Yeah. That's great.
Does that mean I get to go next?
Yeah, you're next oldest.
Because I'm the least important.
No, you're the next oldest.
Discussion. Because I did not have parents that listened to ABBA. That was not a thing that was happening in my house.
So it was really baby boomer of my mom, because our parents are the same age.
Right. Our parents are pre-boomers.
Yeah.
That's how old they are.
Yeah.
And so my parents were like 50s and 60s, baby, yeah! So I didn't listen to ABBA Gold or ABBA until I went to college, and I encountered someone that had it, and I don't remember who that person was, but I just absorbed ABBA Gold from them.
They probably got it from the Columbia Music Club.
And so my ABBA coverage is spotty because I didn't...
You're a late-blooming ABBA
right?
fan.
Right? I didn't delve in. I don't have ABBA Discovery. Anyway, so that's me.
All right, Renata.
Well, I'm the babyest podcaster, and well, I mean, I already sort of told you, but that wasn't even my full origin, because like before middle school, even, my dad has some of the funniest tastes in music, because he is a boomer, he's like a straight white man, and he loves the girliest dance pop. He loves ABBA. He loves Lady Gaga.
He loved
Hannah
dad.
Montana.
Oh
like,
my
yeah.
God, me too.
He is just like, it's, you know, he's so, he's very comfortable in his masculinity, and he's like, this is what slaps, it's ABBA, deal with it.
Kesha,
I think, is a little bit too electronic for him, a lot of it. I bet he would like Rainbow. I haven't really exposed him to that one yet.
Okay.
He doesn't like Lady Gaga's newer stuff as much either.
Hmm.
He loves Poker Face, though. And my dad also, here's my technical origin story. He did have records, but we didn't play them anymore. He had this like fancy CD and cassette combo, so he could make cassette tapes to play in the car.
Yeah.
And he would always take albums and his favorite songs, he would like put on the tape twice. Like my dad invented repeat one just by like literally repeating it on the tape. Cause he was like, I know the Dancing Queen slaps. And after I finish listening to Dancing Queen, I'm just going to want to listen to it again.
So we have these tapes.
Yeah. We have these tapes. I mean, I think he probably did have ABBA Gold. Like, I don't even know, because my experience was through the cassette tapes, but like songs will just repeat on the tapes. Cause those are his favorites.
That's great.
I found out later that my mom really liked the song Fernando, so she knew about ABBA and liked ABBA. I'm going to go ahead and guess that my dad did not care for ABBA.
In spite of being Scandinavian?
Right. So I came home from college and I was like humming, I don't know what happened. She was like, oh, I love Fernando. Interesting.
That's pretty anti-nationalist of your dad.
Probably.
Considering all the
t-shirts. Well, we're not into Sweden.
Right, right, right. He is Danish. And they don't like
and
the
Norwegian.
Swedes. And Norwegian.
Yeah, Danish people have Aqua, and they should be very proud of that.
That's true.
Right.
I had to explain that to Little G the other day. Anyway.
Interesting. So, the format, did you have something you needed to insert?
I did. So, regarding your dad's taste in music, we have talked about the show Gravity Falls on this podcast before, but it is a children's cartoon for the X-Files adult
demographic.
And one of the main characters is named Dipper. He's a young 12 to 13 year old, and he has a favorite musical group, which is, where did it go? There.
And let's not forget last Tuesday's incident.
Disco girl coming through, that girl is you.
Don't come in.
You're listening to girly Icelandic pop sensation ABBA?
No, I wasn't. It's not important.
Aww.
They parody a lot of wonderful things. If you don't watch Gravity Falls and you haven't listened to every single episode of us talking about it, you should definitely watch the episode Dungeons, Dungeons, and More Dungeons.
It's true, but I do find myself singing
Disco
Girl.
She does. I find her singing Disco Girl.
That girl is you.
So,
so what we're going to do...
Yeah. Just, here's the plan.
Just for the sake of clarity, so we can just absolutely once and for all establish.
So we can just absolutely.
Absolutely. This is going to be like
Yes.
Excuse me?
Absolutely discover what the best ABBA songs are. No one could possibly argue with us once we're done with this process.
Right, because we're starting with a core group of ABBA songs, those included on the aforementioned ABBA Gold.
Yes.
And what we are going to do
is we're each going to give our ranking of the songs in ABBA Gold, and then we're going to combine the scores and determine the best and worst and middle of the pack. ABBA Gold was released in 1992. And the songs were all recorded between 1973 and 1981. So it's a pretty... most of the 70s. 92, that explains exactly why I came across it in college.
Mm-hmm. I was already in grad school, so I don't know what my problem was. But ABBA was a big part of my life prior
right,
to that time.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You already had ABBA in your life. Your Lord and Saviors, or whatever, have been accepted.
Okay.
Okay, so, track one, the official, aforementioned Disco Girl.
Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen. I do have clips, if we want to hear them, so that we can refresh ourselves and our audience.
Right.
But Dancing Queen shouldn't be hard.
Is that legal?
I was wondering.
She's just dancing.
She is only dancing, yes.
Okay. So, Renata, where does Dancing Queen fall on your ranking?
You know, when I was ranking this, I, like, immediately knew my top few, and then I had my bottom few, and then I was sort of shaking out the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I arbitrarily... this whole thing is arbitrary, honestly, because the whole album is incredible.
It is.
Like, even
it's
the
hard
worst
to
song
pick,
on it...
it's hard to pick bad songs.
You know, like, even the worst song on it, which we'll get to, like, even the worst song on it is great.
This is true. Absolutely true. I have no argument with that statement.
So I put Dancing Queen at 10, just as kind of an anchor point to, like, rank around. Because to me, I'm like, it is, obviously, it's a great song. I feel like it has suffered from overexposure to where, you know, of all the ABBA songs, I feel like I probably have heard it the most. And it still retains, like, every time it comes out, I'm still like, oh, yeah. Like, even just now when you played that clip, I was doing a little shimmy.
Right, well, Ellen was unable to not sing along, so.
Yeah. But for my money, if I'm, like, playing DJ and I'm going to pick an ABBA song, like, I'm maybe going to pick something slightly less iconic than Dancing Queen just because it feels a little fresher to me.
See, yes. I'm going to go the other way and say, like, it encapsulates ABBA to me. And so I put it at number 3.
Holy cow. Ooh.
I know. See, we're already... because if someone was like, you have to listen to one ABBA song... It wouldn't be that one, but it would be the third one I would choose.
I see. Right. I see. See, my metric, I think, maybe was more personal. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's,
are you saying
it's
I'm not being personal?
It's a very intimate thing. And what you said about your ranking, about all of the middle being arbitrary, is absolutely my experience.
Yeah,
I sat down with the track listing and I was like, these are my three favorite ABBA songs. And then I don't like these two very much. And then I had to just sort of like sing through all of the rest of them
and try
to like do that. So I relate to that very hard. And I had Dancing Queen in at number 6. So it seems to be like the top of the not number ones.
Okay.
So all like right. I have 5 number ones and 3 number tens. And then everything else is a number 5.
Yeah. What I mean about more personal is like, I think if the task were, what are the most iconic ABBA songs? Then this would be one.
True,
but
true.
Like, what's my favorite?
Right.
That's.
I see, yeah, it's just, if it's on in the car, then I'm, you know, I'm going to turn it up. That's where I am.
We do not change the station when ABBA comes on.
Of course not. By the way, I would like to interject a small anecdote about, I believe, the only time I've ever disagreed with my coworker, other Anna.
Oh.
And it was, she came in and she was like, oh, this weekend I had a disagreement with my husband. And I was like, oh my God, what was it? And I'm like, whenever someone tells me this, I'm always so ready to take my friend's side in it.
Oh yeah.
And like, whatever's going on. Right. But she's like, well, my husband said that ABBA is the most iconic Swedish pop band. And I said, they're one of the most iconic. And I was like, I'm sorry? What? And she's like, well, I mean, think about Ace of Base. And I was like, no, like, listen, Ace of Base is good. Like, Ace of Base is up there. But, like, you absolutely cannot even pretend they're in the same echelon as ABBA. And I'm so sorry to ever take a man's side over you, but I simply must. He is correct. ABBA is the definitive, honestly, not just Swedish, Scandinavian pop band.
Yeah. There are only 2 Ace of Base songs. There are 500 ABBA songs that we all know all the words to.
Yes. It's simply a ludicrous argument, and I'm so sorry to even mention it. But...
Oh, I'm so sorry that other Anna is on the wrong side of truth.
But you know what? Sometimes you have to have an exception that proves the rule.
Of being in accord. Right. Yes.
Okay. Wow, that's...
You know what? Knowing me, knowing other Anna, I think that we'll be fine.
Knowing me, knowing other Anna.
Okay, so speaking of that song, nice segueing.
Oh, hey, track 2.
I have it at 6, I think because of the part.
Mm-hmm. Which is like,
I just have an imagining of all of them being like, yeah, I do know both of you.
I do.
And I have it at number 8, which is, again... in the middle.
Right. There are 19, we should say there are 19 tracks on ABBA Gold.
Yes.
I put mine at 13, which again was just arbitrary, because, I mean, this song slaps. It's great.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing we can do. All right, well, so Take a Chance on Me...
Oh, my God.
...is a song that the female a cappella group at my college
sang. Really?
Like, that was one of their core songs. I have it down at 13.
Okay.
Oh, see, the overexposure will get you.
Okay, so talk about yours, because I have, like, a thing with Take a Chance on Me.
Interesting. I put it at 5. I really like this song, and I think If You Change Your Mind, Away the First in Line is something that I quote sort of often, not even in a romantic sense, but just, I don't know, like, when we're making plans or whatever, like, that line has somehow gotten into my... daily vocabulary pretty solidly.
We have a clip of the Erasure cover.
Oh, good.
Take a Chance on Me.
If you change your mind on the first in line, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know, and I'll be around.
Eileen's dancing is something that you wish you could see.
If you're all alone when the pretty...
Sorry, the snaps were me. So, I will probably talk more about the Erasure cover album called ABBA-esque. This is a glorious achievement. I am one who, you may know from a past episode, believes that the cover is the highest form of artistic achievement. And I love ABBA-esque, and the videos, get your heinies on YouTube to see them, because they are in ABBA drag when they're singing them. Ooh. But Take a Chance on Me, I have it at 7 in my listing, which puts it firmly in the upper middle, just like everything so far. Mm-hmm. But the way it appears in Mamma Mia.
The movie.
Okay. No, the stage show.
The stage show.
Yeah, because I saw the stage show before they made the movie. The way it appears in that, where the Brenda Blethyn character... Is that her? Who is? Oh, Julie Walter?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
It's like the butchie lady is like coming on to the Swedish guy and she's like singing it. You haven't seen Mamma Mia?
I haven't seen the
stage show.
Okay. And I don't know the names of anyone in the movie.
Anyway, it's so hilarious and cute and funny and awkward and weird and painful that I just love it. And I... was never that into it earlier, but after the Mamma Mia phenomenon, which we haven't discussed, which brought ABBA back into the world consciousness when it was created, possibly the best of the jukebox musicals.
Yeah.
Was that a yeah?
Yeah, I mean, first I was like, well, I consider the options, and then I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And so that, but that, so Take a Chance on Me found new life.
Although, I haven't seen the Britney Spears musical yet.
Uh-oh.
I mean, is there a Carly Rae Jepsen jukebox musical in the works?
Ooh, that would be good. Taylor Swift also
But her since works, those
but those don't exist yet, and Mamma Mia does. And Mamma Mia, like...
Mamma Mia has enough material to sustain two jukebox musical movies.
Right?
So true.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of cover albums, did you guys listen to the Cher ABBA cover album?
We did not, which came out in 2018.
Yeah. I was so excited for it, and then I was a little bit disappointed by it almost, because I don't know, like, I like Cher so much, I like ABBA so much, but then it almost was just like, well, I think I'd rather just have Cher singing Cher songs. I don't know what's being added here.
Right. So sometimes, we talked about this in our cover episode, but sometimes if it's too faithful to the original, and it's like, why did you even do this? I don't know if it was like...
It was a bit of, yeah, a bit of that. I don't know. And I hate to say it. I truly hate to say it.
I like the Erasure covers because they add the, like,
electronic,
agey electronic sound.
Yeah, very new wave.
But it's like the songs that you love, and so, and they're all, most of them are dance songs, so it all works.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mamma Mia, speaking of the devil, is the next song. I have a clip of that. Iconic.
Oh my god, I love that.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And here's what's great about ABBA, is like every time you play one of these clips, I'm like, oh, I was wrong. Maybe this should be my number one. Like, every time I hear, I'm like, oh, this is so good. Oh,
actually.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. I have been thinking that with all of these. I'm like, how could this possibly be so low as number four for me? And then I look at the top three, and I'm like, okay, okay.
See, I have it in my as my number two song.
It's your number two?
It's my number two song.
Ooh, Renata.
I put it down at number six, and I'm like, are there really five songs better than this? But like, yeah. There are.
I would like to mention that I believe Mamma Mia was in The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, as one of the songs that they sang.
Is it?
Well,
I still haven't seen that movie, and I know.
Oh my god,
Renata,
what are you doing tonight?
Is it streaming? I don't know.
Okay,
but so I feel like we need you to come out here right now, and watch it with us.
Well, we have so many more songs to talk about. I can't drive in podcast.
Okay, well, if you haven't seen it by, like, next weekend.
I am beside myself.
No, it's a failing. Let's move on.
So it is in...
It is in it Priscilla. Is, okay.
Yeah. I had it in my notes, but again, I made my notes in April.
All right.
So, you know.
I have to make a note of this because I will link to a clip from Priscilla.
Right. Which is a great movie, in case you could not gather.
Okay. The next song on the track listing is unknown to us because...
I'm sorry.
Anna's computer just logged her out.
Oh.
I didn't log out.
Well, it's track 5 on the album, and it is Lay All Your Love on Me. And I've put it at number 4 on my list.
Wow. That's amazing.
I really like it.
Okay.
And I like, in Mamma Mia, that's the one where they're all, like, on the docks, right?
I don't... See, I've only seen it once, so I don't have...
I have it at number 9, so it is, like, exactly in the middle.
And I have it at number 10. I mean, it's still a good... It's a good song. I have it... It's now in my head.
They are all good. They're all good songs, Brent.
I know. Basically, you're right. Super Trooper. I have a clip of that.
Okay.
Are we ready? Super Trooper, beams are gonna blind me, but I won't feel blue. Like what a nice harmony. Or somewhere in the crowd there. All right. I think Aline here is going to, judging by her face, is going to...
I've got Super Trooper at number 18.
18!
Whoa!
Because it was like what I went through, and I have like four or five of them that I won't listen to the whole thing of. I know all the words.
Just because they're 5 minutes long.
No. It's just because I'm sort of like, I get this, and I start thinking about Super Troopers, the movie. I start thinking about militaristic endeavors. I don't know. It's just, so it's number 18 for me.
So do you know that Super Trooper is a brand of Spotlight or a type of Spotlight?
No. That changes everything.
Because it's Super Trooper, beams are gonna blind me. It's about being in the spotlight, baby.
Oh, see, Renata?
That's why you're here.
That is why you're here.
And that's why I've put it at number 8.
I have it at number 7. I could not tell you my logic for that. It's interesting because it's a little more ballady than some of the ones I like.
Well, so now that I know it's a heart-wrenching indictment of celebrity... I'm going to have to change everything, but I'm not going to rework the list right now. I was going to
say, let's rework the list on air.
Oh my gosh, no.
Okay, so this one I have a feeling we might have some consensus on. It is, I have a dream. Wait, I have a clip.
I have a clip.
I'm going to fast forward to it.
Okay. Yeah, it's not dreams that help me through reality, y'all.
So I have it at 18.
I have it at 18 as well.
And I have it at 15.
So
it is not in the tops.
It is 4 minutes and 44 seconds long. And it is pretty much all like what we just heard.
In terms of things titled I Have a Dream, I rank it well below Martin Luther King's speech.
Which is the number one pick.
That's the connection.
That's top draft for I Have a Dream.
That is why we are recording today.
Yeah. So, not a great one.
No.
News. But it does, you do need some songs like that to hold together your jukebox musical.
Yeah, it's true. You have to have some slow ballads so you can have, like, a montage of people mooning over each other or whatever.
Yeah, or thinking about their desire to own a taverna, like, whatever. Multi-purpose.
The next song, also, I feel Renata and I are on the same wavelength here.
Oh, really?
Ooh, exactly.
Well, and again, it's an identical arc because I have it 3 ranked above y'all, but it's still in the bowels.
So the song is The Winner Takes It All. It's another ballad. Here we go.
Did he just miss a note?
No, he certainly did. It is 4 minutes and 55 seconds long.
Of this.
I'm going to fast forward so we can hear some singing.
But I really like that the first line is...
I mean, again, these songs are all good. But this is among the least good.
Right, but the first line is, I don't want to talk. Okay. It's like, great, shut up, Skip.
And there's 4 minutes left of the song. Oh, well.
Yeah, so we don't really like that one much.
Well, so track number 9, Money, 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 which is has been a musical obsession on this podcast in the past.
Really?
And I have it much higher than some might. I have it at number 5.
Wow. Renata and I both have it in the lower range, in the lower half. I like it, but it's my 14th favorite.
Right, that we like all of these songs.
Yeah. Yes, I think we're just going to keep reiterating that. I like it. I like it fine.
Yeah, listen, if anyone from ABBA is listening to this, I absolutely don't want to hurt their feelings.
No. Definitely. And I don't know what's wrong with Money, Money, Money.
Right. Nothing's wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong. For any other pop band, that might be their best song.
That's, you know what I mean? Perfect. That's, mm-hmm. that's what we're talking about. Okay, so we can just move right on to this song, which I have a clip of. It's a long intro one.
It's worth it.
True.
You had closed your mind.
Oh my God. I flinched when you cut that off. Like, oh, it's such a tease.
I'm sorry. I didn't, you're right. I didn't get to any of the good parts. Do you want me to try and find it?
This is my number one. My number one ABBA song on ABBA Gold.
I didn't want to leave you guys hanging.
Thank you. I know we need to keep the episode a reasonable length, but also, what if we just listen to all of us?
This is a good song.
I think that part of this number one-ing for me is because I come from a nautical people.
Okay. Yeah.
And seafaring is important. So and you're just, knowing you're just, like, the SOS. Tapping out Morse code. Yes. He's extremely. It's like a fundamental aspect of my upbringing.
I put it at 8, which doesn't mean that I dislike it. ABBA, don't worry, I still love it. I just didn't. It's, you know.
It ranks pretty high for us.
Yeah. It's my number 3.
It could be Mamma Mia. It and Mamma Mia are in the front running for top 3 status right now, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall.
Oh my God.
By the way, talking about ABBA being able to hear us, can I tell you, my roommate went to Sweden last year and she went to the ABBA Museum.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I know. And she brought me a Dancing Queen mug that I treasure. But also in the museum, there is a telephone that's like connected directly to, I forget, to like one of their houses. And it's just like, you can't call them, but there's a chance that they might call the museum and you pick it up and it's like Bjorn or whatever.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't know if that's ever happened, but just like knowing the possibility of it is enthralling.
It's too much. I love it. Much.
Okay, we need to go.
Yeah, right now.
Obviously.
Book your tickets.
Right after Renata watches Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
No. In-flight entertainment. We'll watch it on the flight.
Oh, on the way. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, I am going to play a clip of this one.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
This song is 5 minutes and 26 seconds long. Chiquitita, tell me what's wrong. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. It's 5 minutes and 26 seconds long. I and Renata and I are on 100% accord with our bottom 3.
Mm-hmm. Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was like, I don't have to recut any clips cut any new clips.
You guys, I have Chiquitita at number 5.
See?
Whoa
boy. Right? You know what? You were born in 1970.
I think it's a 70s thing.
Why don't you?
Every book has its reader, and every ABBA song its listener.
That's true. Why don't you just listen to Fernando?
Well, but I think that's part of it. Is that I've got these. I like the. I've got Fernando and Chiquitita in the super high bits.
Oh, okay.
Because evidently, I should have known about ABBA Oro long ago.
I know, right?
Since I liked their Spanishy stuff. Yeah, so there we go. Okay, I am so shamed before
the song is
everyone.
Chiquitita, and that's 2 19s and 1 5. main problem is that it's long and slow.
It's long and slow, and Chiquitita is like an awkward, it's hard to sing along with, it's too many syllables.
So Renata alerted us to the existence of ABBA Oro, which is the Spanish language version of ABBA, many ABBA Gold songs, and I listened to the Chiquitita version in Spanish, and I was like, oh, okay. I wouldn't say I was impressed by their ability to sing their songs in Spanish, since they're already singing them in English, which isn't their first language either.
Right.
I was like, they can do anything.
They really can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like there is some sort of like leftover little girl in the 70s, Chiquititita. Chiquitita.
You want to I respect Chiquita that.
Because of the bananas or whatever.
Mm-mm.
No?
Well, maybe, yeah, that's probably why my tongue said Chiquita, but I know the difference between Chiquita and Chiquititita, which I still can't say. I have not been drinking, y'all.
I swear.
It's a hard likely to tell. Story.
Well, speaking of Fernando, here it is. They put them right together on the
they
album.
They did. They well, they like, flow well together.
They do flow well together.
But
Fernando,
look.
Fernando, my mom's favorite.
It's Surly Mom's favorite, too.
See? There we go. I have it at 9. And you have it at?
I have it at number 3 because number Surly three. Mom is oh, very strong.
Yeah, so is Helga Mom. I'm going to try and find a good spot on Fernando to play.
I have it down at 15, I gotta say. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think we, Aline and I often say, can you hear the drums, Fernando? Just to each other.
Yeah. Like, again, I like Fernando fine. It's just...
He's an okay guy.
I fine,
guess.
Yeah.
What we had to look up what war we were talking about at some point, and I've already forgotten. But I'm going to play a little bit of Fernando.
I think she's talking about assassinating someone.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
The pipes, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know. But it is at number 3.
You can blame
three.
It on your mom.
But it is... I have it on my list. I said Fernando, hashtag Surly Mom.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she will never listen to the podcast. And if she ever starts listening, she will never make it to episode 113. But if she caught me ranking Fernando lower, there would be hell to pay.
We wouldn't be hearing from you ever again. Got it. Voulez-vous?
Uh-huh.
Is a great song.
Uh-huh.
Unlike the rest of these songs.
Which... Uh-huh.
I'm trying to figure out where I have it. Oh, I have it at number 4.
Renata?
I put it at number 2, which I was a little surprised to realize. Like, I sat down and I made this spreadsheet and I was just looking and my heart was like, Voulez-vous is number 2. And I was like, okay.
Okay,
and
heart.
I don't know. But I think I stand by it.
Okay. The intro guitar to Voulez-vous is really great. It's like, grabs you in.
Are you going to play it for us?
I'm going to play it for you.
Great.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're in it immediately.
In it immediately, correct. And I think it's the antithesis of Chiquitita, and that Chiquitita is like too many syllables, hard to say. Voulez-vous, so easy.
Aha!
Both foreign languages, but... Okay, sorry, I have to stop us sometime.
We just want to listen to the whole thing.
Woo! We don't want Ava to come after us for copyright reasons.
So, Renata.
You need to speak on this one.
Interesting. Okay. Well, my number 14 on the album, number 1 in my heart is Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight. But I do want to put a little asterisk by it because my true favorite is I don't know why. I truly love the Spanish language version, Dame, 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 Amor Esta Noche. And I would like to point out that the Spanish language version then becomes gender neutral.
Yeah.
Because in Spanish, they're not asking for a man. They're asking for love.
I like
so
that.
So anyone,
that's
anyone
nice.
Can be seeking love tonight.
I mean, speaking, we put it at 10 and 11.
Wow.
Possibly because we don't want a man
after midnight
or
at any time.
Yeah.
No,
so
I
give
have it,
it
at 13.
You just put it. Oh, you put it. That's you just put that in.
Oh, yeah, you've got 2 tens right now. This is
oh,
chaos.
Okay, yeah, no, gimme is 13, because right. I can't count. So, yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah, it's probably the man part.
Yeah,
so.
I think it is. But so the Spanish version could go higher.
Mm-hmm.
Amor esta noche. I don't know. This song, it just slaps.
Okay, shall we listen to a clip?
Yeah.
Please. Like, again, right off the bat, this
yeah,
is so
mm-hmm,
good.
Mm-hmm.
This gives me chills.
It's And I see, it's almost 5 minutes long too, but I'm not complaining about this one. Maybe because it's not a ballad?
Maybe.
Or something.
That
there
is
it
the
is.
Blue.
Ah. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should rank it higher. Mm-hmm. Curse you, ABBA! Making this so difficult.
Yeah. But for real, will you play a clip of Dame, Dame, Dame? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Eventually. Yeah, and technically also, it's just Love Tonight. So you could still be in bed at a reasonable hour in Spanish.
Oh, they're just getting better and better.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to fast forward a little so we can...
Isn't there more than loneliness? Nobody, for pity's sake?
And it's not even after midnight, it's just tonight.
That's what she said.
Earlier in the song, I think she does say it has midnight has struck, but nevertheless, the chorus.
For those of us who go to bed earlier.
But
yeah.
Also, as someone who loves Spanish pop music, they enunciate so well that I can sing along. Because I don't understand Spanish as well as I'd like to. So I don't get to sing along to everything. And
we try, though.
Because I don't want to do it wrong.
Well, because, I mean, I think especially in the early days, what are their names? Agnetha and Ana Frida?
Yep.
They didn't speak English, and so they learned these phonetically. So it was just like, yeah, we'll do the same for Spanish. I think they speak English now, though. But
Right. And they're learning phonetically, like, I feel like they should be playing this.
It, like, so crisply.
In high school Spanish class.
Right. They should be.
For, like, fun, because, I mean, I had many of my language teachers brought pop music to us to try to, like, help us, but when they're going, like,
you just need to make an effort to look at the lyrics.
Yes.
And understand.
And hunker down and listen. Right. I have to do a better job.
My mom used to watch telenovelas, but with the captions on, like, she already knew Spanish, she taught Spanish, but, like, she would watch them with the captions on, just, like,
so she could read them.
She could read and hear at the same, you know.
That, and that's what I need to do, because I can't always distinguish individual words.
Right, so if we watched the video of the song with the... Yeah.
Okay, anyway, yes.
This is our recommitting to learning more languages.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
Or doing a better job with the languages we know.
Yeah. ABBA Mania stage show, which was the reason that we decided to do this episode. We went to it last year, and we're going to it next month. But they... inhabit the characters of the ABBA group, and so they speak with pretend
Swedish
accents. I think half of them are Australian, and
yeah, there's a couple of Aussies,
and at least one of them's American. We'll look at the bios again, but they're like, they're going all the way, and they are doing like the exact replica, including the moves from the videos.
Mm-hmm. And the outfits from the 70s.
So if you're looking for an ABBA experience...
Then I am.
Yeah. We highly recommend ABBA Mania. And it is a touring show that goes all over. So you should check their site to see...
We'll link to their Instagrams because you can see some videos and stuff that they've done. And you got that note.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're getting down to it. We've got 5 songs left.
Really?
One of them is Does Your Mother Know? Does Your Mother Know?
And here's the thing about Does Your Mother Know. I feel like I also want an asterisk by this. Like, the song is catchy. The ABBA version is a little sleazy. But I have so much love for the Mamma Mia version where it's Christine Baranski being a cougar. And I love it.
That. See, I hadn't even, like, somehow, this is the song on ABBA Gold that I've forgotten.
Okay, no, but I'm...
Wait, where's this song from? And then we watched Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, because it was on the second one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like...
I think it's in both, maybe?
Oh, maybe
there's some songs that they put in both movies.
Possible.
But that's
definitely
great.
Definitely in the first one.
Because just like it like brought Take a Chance on Me to life for me, I really appreciate that it brought Does Your Mother Know alive for you, and I can visualize this, and Christine Baranski is just so... awesome that I'm with you. I had it at number 17, right, which is in the very bottom, right. But I am with you on that connection.
And I do have a clip because it was in your bottom three.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Will you pause this clip, though, and play the Christine Baranski version? I'm so sorry.
Yes, I can do that.
I did not make that request in advance, but I just would love to hear it. As is true with, like, so many things, when a man is singing it, it's garbage. But when Christine Baranski is singing it... Little boys who play with fire get their fingers burned. You're so hot, teasing me. So you're blue, but I can't take a chance on a kid like you. That look in your eyes, I can read in your face that you're feeling so driving you wild. Oh, but boy, you're only a child. Well, I can dance with you, honey, if you think it's funny, but dance your mouth and don't touch your heart. Okay,
that's iconic. True.
That'll bring it up. So, Aline and I both had it ranked low because of
not Christine Baranski.
Because yeah, of the weird sleaziness of the song, probably. But you're right. Christine Baranski can raise the level of anything.
Next on the track list is One of Us.
One of Us. This song gets stuck in my head way more often than it should.
It really is.
Lonely. I have it at 14.
16.
19.
Oh! Ooh. 19. That must mean I have a clip of it. Here we go.
Waiting for a call, please.
You sounded just like your mom.
So, my mom visited since we last recorded. So, Anna has really good recall of this. So, that is the reason that I am not into this, and it's slow, but the ABBA Mania stage show sings it,
yeah,
and they do a good job, and they, like, bring it to life. And it's still number 19. You guys have it at 18, 16, and 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the name of the game.
Oh, you're hilarious.
Okay. So, name of the game is the next one. I have it at 12.
I've got it at 11.
And I have it at 16.
Okay. I think it's a middle of the pack one. I think even in the, this is true of the next one too. Even in the live stage version, I was like, okay. And
I feel like I want it reworked for professional sports. Like I want it to be the theme
to the
WNBA or something. Yeah, or like I feel like it's got potential, but it's not there for me.
That's fair. Thank You for the Music is the penultimate title on this. And I have it at number 15. What do you have it?
I've got it at 12.
This one seems to go on forever live.
Yeah.
I have it at number 11, so we're all sort of like bottom half.
Yeah. I mean, I do have the Spanish language version here for us to listen.
Oh, good. Ooh.
So I think I might like it better in Spanish.
I think I like all of them better in Spanish, and so we might need to redo this. Yeah.
Truly.
Oh, boy. So the last one.
The last song on ABBA Gold.
Was voted the best Eurovision song of all time for the 50th anniversary of Eurovision. Oh,
really?
I didn't even know it was Eurovision. That makes sense, though.
It makes perfect sense. It's all about Europe. Here we go. And it teaches you about history. Stop it, or should I just keep going? Okay.
Oh my god, I love Waterloo.
Bring on.
Oh my.
Bring on the horn, the saxophone. The saxophone just came in there.
Well, and I feel like I feel like I discovered Waterloo late. Like, it was not on that Greatest Hits album, and it was not on Dancing Queen. I think it was, I can picture the album cover is something different. It was its own album. It was the title song. And I don't know why I love it so much.
I mean, I have it as number one.
I have it as number two.
I mean, okay, I put it at number nine, but then after listening to it, I'm like, maybe I was wrong.
What was wrong with you?
But it's not the first time I've had that feeling, yeah, though. Like, just every song I listen to, I'm like, it's so good.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Here's the best. The best thing about this album is that they put Waterloo at the end, so you're like, I need to listen to this whole album all over again.
That's true. It's it like really gets you revved up.
If you had it on a cassette tape and your tape ended with Waterloo and then like flipped over automatically and went back to Dancing Queen, you would be like, perfect, let's go again.
Yeah.
Unless it was a tape made my I can't
in
talk.
Which case it would unless be like it was a tape that my dad had made,
then he would just put Waterloo twice. He got you covered.
So this is amazing.
And also, I love in Mamma Mia the stage musical. At least I can't remember if they do this for the movie, but like they conclude the story and then everyone comes out for an encore and they do Waterloo because it's just like, oh, this doesn't really fit in the story, but like we know you want to hear Waterloo, so we'll just do it.
We're just gonna do it.
Well, and in the movie, stage musical, the way they do it with all, and everybody stands up and sings along is really, really great. In the movie, they do it over the closing credits, and they have everyone in their like bell bottom spangly outfits.
Right.
And so it's fun, but it's not right. So I have, while Anna is doing some calculations, or she is resorting a spreadsheet.
There we go. Okay, I did it.
Oh, we have a
three-way
tie for
number one. Three-way tie for number one. Perfect.
What we're going to talk about, but before we get to that,
okay,
we're going to talk about ABBA Gold 2.
Oh, yeah. ABBA more Gold.
I'm kidding.
But you do. There is another song.
There is More Gold or ABBA Gold 2 or something. It's a different album, and it's got songs on it. It's got another
it has songs on
18
it?
To 20 what? Songs. I can't remember how many. But it also lacks a song that was pretty critical to my ABBA lovings.
It's called More ABBA Gold.
It's called More ABBA Gold. Go down to the track listing. And oh. It does have two songs on it that I love, but it does not have my all-time favorite ABBA song on it. And so I figure if they are doing 39 songs and they don't like my favorite, then something's wrong with me. It's the only logical conclusion. So my favorite ABBA song of all time is Nina Pretty Ballerina.
Crickets.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Well,
but I would love to be.
Hold on.
But wait.
Sorry, it starts with a train whistle? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Every day in the morning on her way to the office, you can see her as she catches a train. It's a story song!
Her name is Nina, though.
No.
Oh, no.
Friday evening, she jumps out to be Nina, pretty ballerina. this predates Dancing Queen, obviously.
Yeah, is this the prequel?
It is the prequel, and it is a sign of me coming to ABBA as a 6, 7, 8-year-old who took ballet classes.
Yeah.
And
I can see it.
That is just like my ABBA song, and it's not on either of these albums. My other two favorite ABBA songs that are not on ABBA Gold, but they are on more ABBA Gold, are Ring Ring.
Yep.
And I Do, I Do, I Do, I Do, I Do.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I like Ring Ring. Are you counting? So, yeah. Do you want it? The votes are in.
The votes are in.
There's a three-way tie for the top three.
Three-way tie for number one.
Right, which I feel is very equitable of us.
Yeah, and truly representative of how...
Truly representative. So the three-way tie is Eurovision top number one song, Waterloo. Mm-hmm. Mamma Mia and S.O.S.
I stand by it. That's a great trio.
So I feel kind of bad.
Scrolling
that,
down.
That it means Anna's and my number one songs right. are in the top three. But Renata's number one song is not in the top three.
In the Spanish,
you know what though?
When we
rank Oro, it'll be different because Oro also doesn't have all these songs.
Right, it doesn't Perfect. Have everyone. So, and the bottom three: Winner Takes It All, One of Us, and I Have a Dream. Sorry, but they have to defer to MLK.
Absolutely.
They do. And that one is truly the bottom. There's not a tie in the bottom three.
There is not. It is pretty, I'm not going to say bad, pretty just
clear.
Not the best.
It's just pretty clear, our decision on that one. So that's pretty exciting that we made it through all 20 songs without playing all 20
songs.
It's not
20. Why didn't they just put one more on?
Oh, right, 19 songs.
And make it 20.
Well, there's 20 on more ABBA Gold, so they listened to feedback.
They listened to, okay.
Well, it also probably just has to do with the limits of what would fit on an album.
Yes,
it was a
double album though. It was a double vinyl record because it came out when vinyl still existed.
Okay, that's fair.
It might have been a double cassette.
I mean, even CDs have limits also.
What? I've heard that. I've told people that at the library.
Do either of y'all have any missing ABBA songs?
Well, I like Under Attack a lot, which is in Mamma Mia the Musical.
Okay.
A friend of mine sent me some, like, ABBA deep cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, I think it's, oh yeah, do you know Pick a Bale of Cotton?
Oh my god, no.
It's, I think, okay, it's from their self-titled album, ABBA.
Oh my god.
And Hey Hey Helen is on that album too. I really like Hey Hey Helen. I don't know if it is actually like an American Southern folk song or if they're just trying to imitate it, but it is called Pick a Bale of Cotton and it's like bananas, but it's like pretty catchy. Now that I'm talking about it, I feel the need to like make sure that it's not somehow racist.
I was just saying,
but like
if you search YouTube, Pick a Bale of Cotton is a Lead Belly song.
Oh.
I don't know if they're covering that or
I cannot wait to research this because of I am a fan of the blues. I have Southern family. My grandmother grew up picking cotton. And
okay,
so
Pick
I want to know more about this.
Is a traditional American folk song and a work song, later popularized by Lead Belly, but then included by ABBA.
But
and it's actually ABBA did a medley. Oh, the song, particularly its original lyrics, has been criticized as racist. Yo. Oh, the original lyrics contain the N-word. ABBA definitely does not. Does not.
Woo! Okay.
I can assure you Lead Belly does, even though I don't know the song.
Yeah, okay. ABBA, it's a medley that also includes On Top of Old Smokey and Midnight Special. But on at least on my phone version, it's just called Pick a Bale of Cotton.
Interesting.
Anyway, look into that.
I sure will.
Okay.
Do you have any missing ABBA songs, Anna?
No, see, I'm still expanding my ABBA knowledge.
Right, yeah, I think coming into it via ABBA Gold is a really great way, but it doesn't lend itself to discovering obscurity.
Not really.
So, which is cool.
I did discover that I don't like When I Kissed the Teacher... From Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, Right. I was like, yeah. This is, I mean, even though I think they had a woman singing it to make it less creepy, like that. I was like, So there's that. And I do like Ring Ring. And Aline's phone always used to play Angel Eyes when she plugged it into the car because it started with an A.
It was the alphabetically first thing.
So yeah. I got comfortable with it, you know? I was like, oh, it's Angel Eyes.
For the last several years, it's been Aaron Burser.
Yeah, yeah, of course. As it has for many of us. I wanted to talk briefly about attached things that mention ABBA or attached properties. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert has Mamma Mia. The Martian had Waterloo in it.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Congeniality had Dancing Queen in it. I feel like just today when we were catching up on Jeopardy's, there were two ABBA references, which I sent to Renata's attention. Yes. I feel like ABBA is still in the cultural lexicon, which is interesting for a group from the 70s made up of Swedish recluses. And we talked briefly about the musical Chess and our favorite song from it, which you can still hear on the radio sometimes. I shall play. And then play. Oh, Murray Head.
Hold it.
What was that?
I didn't realize that Chess was going to be on the table. I could do a whole episode about Chess. No, I love Chess.
Tell us about Chess.
Well, Chess is everything. Chess is a completely bananas. Like, it was a concept album, and the music is written by Benny and Bjorn of ABBA, and the lyrics are written by Tim Rice of Jesus Christ Superstar, Evita, so many things Tim Rice has done for us. He does that for us. And it's a musical that has... It's like a cult hit musical because there's never really been able to do a successful production of it because it is just kind of a mess and it never like quite congeals, but the songs are so good. Like the songs are so good. And it's about like the 1980s and the Cold War and Bobby Fischer's Russian nemesis, whose name I cannot remember. In the concept album, they're straight up just called The American and the Russian.
Perfect.
And then they eventually get names, and it's Freddie Trumper and Anatoly something. Doesn't matter because the songs are so good. But it's something where especially they had to – okay, I wasn't prepared to talk about Chess.
This is good. We want to see your off-the-cuff.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, so there's a concert film – it wasn't a fully staged musical. It's really just them doing the songs with some like light choreography. And you can get that on DVD, and it is Idina Menzel and Josh Groban and Adam Pascal. And it's so good.
Perfect.
But a couple years ago now, I saw a staged version, or rather, sorry, a concert version of a new version that they're trying out where the songs are still the same, but the lyrics are, no, sorry. The lyrics are the same. The book, like the everything that's not songs. The stuff that
happens, yeah.
It has been updated, and it was updated by, now I don't remember his name, but he was a minor character in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I was like, I'm sorry, this is what he's doing now? But he fixed it, and so he somehow just added like a few lines here and there where it just like really congealed it and made the plot so much more accessible, and part of it is that I think when Bobby Fischer was alive, they were really afraid that he would sue because he was, like, notoriously litigious.
Yes.
But now he's dead, so they're like, okay, we're going to lean. It's Danny Strong is the name of the person who revised.
That makes sense. Yeah. He does script doctoring and stuff.
Yeah, so he fixed Chess. And so I believe that version is going to be opening in the West End this year, maybe. And I really hope it comes back to Broadway because it was so good. And I was just like, oh, I've loved this musical for years and I never could have explained the plot to you. And like now I'm like, oh, I can now, I think. But not right now. I'm not prepared. But theoretically, I could.
So the Wikipedia article claims that it will be staged on Broadway late 2018. But
well, that didn't happen.
Interesting. So it did run in London for, like, a month.
The new version?
Yeah.
Already? Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, it was back in 2018.
Interesting.
Because, it was February 2018 that I saw it in Washington, D.C., and it wasn't fully staged. It was just, like, a concert.
Yep.
But it was still great, though.
Cool.
All right. I'm glad. I had a feeling you might be a secret chess expert.
It's not a secret. It's been on the internet. I knew that Renata was into chess, and I forgot to warn her.
Oh, well,
that we were going to bring it up at the end.
So, I specifically was like, I got to stay focused on Abbot Gold. I can't, like, be distracted with chess.
So here's my question. I've listened to the chess soundtrack that was around in the 90s.
The Murray concert Head one? Album yeah, or the
well, where I don't know.
The Murray Head one is the concept album.
It might have been the concept album, but anyway, so what I want from you is a song recommendation for my updated chess
knowledge.
Yes, to listen to so that I can be like, this is new chess, or this is another. Because
all we know is One Night in Bangkok.
Right.
Okay. I mean, there's not a recording of the newest version.
Right.
But the Chess in Concert soundtrack album, I would recommend that version. That's always the one I go to.
Okay.
I mean, One Night in Bangkok, great. Like, truly in my top tier chess songs. Anthem, which is Anatoly's, like, big sweeping song, sung by Josh Groban, especially beautiful. I am obsessed with this song called Embassy Lament, and it's, like, very Tim Rice, and it's this song where Josh Groban is going to try to get a visa so he can defect from Russia, and it's just, like, five embassy officials telling him, like, making him fill out paperwork, and there's, like, typewriter sounds, and they, like, all get in unison, and they have these, like, wild harmonies. And it's so fun and so great, and that is what I would recommend, is Embassy Lament from Chess in Concert.
Perfect.
Okay, I've made a note. We will get our hands on it.
So, any final thoughts on ABBA? We should just stop recording so we can listen to ABBA Oro.
Right, yeah. We'll be doing that immediately after.
They're just great, and let's go to Sweden about it.
Yeah, let's go to the museum.
Yeah.
I'm
Is it in Stockholm?
I think, I don't even know. Okay. It's, you know, all of Sweden is the ABBA Museum.
All of Sweden is a museum. I have never been to Sweden, so.
You've never been to Sweden?
No. I haven't. Have you been to Sweden?
No, but I'm not Scandinavian.
Okay, fine. I've been to Norway and Denmark.
This is good. So, ABBA Sweden. Why didn't you put to say museum?
You
googled ABBA Sweden,
and the
computer melted.
You said the word Sweden. Stop, yes, it's in Stockholm.
Okay, good.
Interactive exhibition.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's holograms.
Oh my god. We saw a hologram of Roger Federer, and it was weird.
We did. We got to dance with a hologram of Roger Federer. At the International Tennis Hall of Fame, for those of you who would like to do that.
To interact with Roger.
So, Renata, do you have a musical obsession?
Well, aside from all of this.
Yeah, separate.
So I have been listening to the Dolly Parton's America podcast, and I've always been a fan of Dolly, of course. But listening to the podcast and the accompanying playlist has gotten me in touch with some, like, deeper Dolly cuts. And so my specific pick for the playlist is Mule Skinner Blues by Dolly Parton.
Cool.
Which I had to look into because I was like, wait. And a mule skinner is like a horse tamer or mule tamer. She's not actually like
she's not out there skinning mules.
Okay, like, good. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Great. Anna, do you have a musical obsession?
I do. So we have just wrapped up a several night run of The Comedy of Errors.
By William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare. It is set in the town of Ephesus, which is currently in Turkey, and they played this Turkish song. They sang this Turkish song at the end of every show, and it's just been stuck in my head ever since. I don't have the program, so I can't
It's just a peach tree Turkish song. It's something about a peach tree. Da 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 da. It's very catchy.
It is.
Because it's a Turkish folk song and there's a little dance to it. So it will be good to have it on the Musical Obsessions playlist.
It will. And it was on Spotify, so I just can't find it now. Seftali?
Yeah, Seftali, that's it.
Yep. So, that's mine. What about yours, Eileen?
I have so many musical obsessions. Every time we see a movie, I am obsessed with the song over the closing credits, and so I end up writing them down in my phone, which I do not have within reach of me. Have we seen any movies lately?
Yep.
What did we see?
You saw Little Women. Were there any songs?
Nope.
I saw Star Wars.
We saw something after that.
We
saw Spies in Disguise.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And there is a song in it that I like.
Okay. And that song was?
I don't know. We're going to look it up real fast because we are prepared.
Yeah, I thought we knew what we were doing.
We do know what we're doing.
But no. Do 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 do.
Are you singing ABBA songs?
Maybe.
Excellent.
That's what I have stuck in my head, okay?
Musical obsessions. It's not in here. My musical obsession is Love Me Like That by The Knox featuring Carly Rae Jepsen.
Ooh.
Good choice.
Right? It's very catchy. I don't remember where I first heard it.
Probably in a movie somewhere.
Renata, do you have a regular obsession?
I do, and I would like to thank both of you for helping to support this obsession. And it is the author Sarah J. Maas.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Who, I call them the Horny Fairies books. Her latest book that Anna and Aline so kindly got me an advanced copy of is, there's fairies in it, and it's less about them, but they're still horny for sure. And also they're not like, I don't even know. Are they good? I don't think they're good. They're just compelling and horny. And I think that's enough.
It is enough.
It's enough
I
for
mean,
me.
You seem to enjoy it. We enjoyed your enjoyment of it. So
thank you. Yes. We're really glad you enjoyed it. And I mean, I opened it. It came in the mail and I opened it and Anna was like handing me a Sharpie and an envelope and telling me to send it to you immediately.
It is 800 pages long. And I was thinking I was going to make a joke about this. And I was like, I don't have time to explain context at this time, but I will now. When we were saying there's 19 songs and they should have just made it an even 20. That's how I feel about, I always forget all the titles of her books. The House of Earth and Blood, maybe. The House of Something and Some Other Thing. It's 97 chapters long. And it's like, girl, you're so close. Why wouldn't you just make it 100 chapters? Like,
yeah,
you're
I mean,
already
that would
in.
Be so tidy.
It surely, wouldn't be hard. Surely. Just, like, write 3 more love scenes and sprinkle them in there. And each one's a chapter. It's fine.
Perfect. So there are love scenes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh,
they're just not horny enough. They're not as horny
as
the teens.
My conclusion, I think they're more explicit, but I think that the YA books, because they're less explicit, there's just sort of this like horny longing throughout, even with like less consummation, like the overall tone is more horny. And in this one, it's more like, oh, we can get it out of our system anyway, back to like this other problem.
Oh, no, that's not because I was listening to the first YA one and I was like, this is YA? What is, we're spending all of our time thinking, oh, what is happening?
Her YA stuff is like very borderline. And like the characters are always like 18 or 19. And also they're immortal. So like, are they even teenagers? I don't know. But also, yes, they are. And they're horny.
They are very, well, I mean, that's accurate for a certain percentage of teenagers, I suppose.
Anna, do you have a regular obsession?
I do. Today.
Today.
I woke up to a notification that my pre-order of Lucy Parker's new book, Headliners, was available on my various devices. And it's a miracle that I haven't spent all of the day leading up to right now reading it. But let's wrap this up.
So we do love Lucy Parker.
That is the latest book in the London Celebrity series, which, if you're looking for a contemporary romance, we highly recommend.
Lucy Parker.
Lucy Parker.
All right.
What about you?
My regular obsession is They All Fall Down by Rachel Housel Hall. Mm-hmm. Rachel Housel Hall has written the Detective Lou Norton mysteries. There are four of those, and they're set in Los Angeles. But this is a standalone locked room mystery in the finest Agatha Christie style. And I can't say much about it because I don't want to give anything away. But it is set on an island off the coast of Mexico. There is a fancy house and seven strangers, and it's great. I posted about it when they sent me the galley a couple of years ago, and I just finally read the book, and it's really good and really enjoyable. And if you are a mystery reader, I think that you will like it. And it's Rachel Housel Hall is a black writer, and multiple characters in the book are black.
Yeah. It was good. I liked it, too.
Yeah, you read it before me.
I mean, mild spoiler, but I especially like the chef who dies by eating, like, the...
exotic, God, he eats fugu.
Yeah, the exotic delicacy that's dangerous.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Especially if you like to have people die off one by one.
Hey, we made it to the end.
Oh, my God.
It's super amazing. I, as always, am extremely grateful to Renata for sharing her wit and charm with us.
Aw.
She is a super
trooper. Thank you for having me and giving me a place to just vent all my feelings about ABBA.
You're welcome. And chess, of course. And if you chess. Want to have and an all chess episode, gosh. I suppose we could
We'd have to all listen the materials. To it. We need to
Amanda
step up.
Amanda would want to join us.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. End script. Right.
Thanks for listening.
Hey!
You can find us on Twitter at BellwetherFriends, BellwetherFrends.
Did you just hear Duarte?
Yes.
He just said something.
Find us on Facebook. It's Duarte's Corner. if you want, you can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review. Just don't yell at us about our episode frequency, which is largely mental health based. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice. Renata, where can we find you?
Hello, I'm on Twitter at Renata Snacks, RenataSnacks.
And you should also check out Renata and Kate on their podcast, Worst Bestsellers, if you somehow don't already know about it. I feel like the Venn diagram of people who listen to this show and people who listen to Worst Bestsellers is like a pretty tight circle, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, we're a tiny circle within them.
Right.
If ABBA is listening to this...
Right, if ABBA is listening to this and they're like, I need to get up on American pop culture. What's this about horny fairies?
Oh, yeah, we'll tell you all about it. We're at worstbestsellers.com.
They read terrible or, best-selling books so that you don't have to.
They are a great tool.
Sometimes they have us on to help them.
They have done that, and they just put out their call for suggestions for the coming year, and I meant to tell you that we need to think something up and suggest that we rejoin them.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Well, we were thinking too, like, what should we ask them to read? And they're like, well, we'll see if they have anything. We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, this is a good discussion to have at the close of this podcast. For sure. Our in and out music was provided by Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at @HimesJulie,
Bye. Give me a second. You gonna pause it? No. Don't pause the recording. This will be fun. It'll be an outtake. I still want to argue with myself all throughout this.
Dumb it, dumb it, dumb it, dumb it.
I am absolutely here for Love After Midnight.
Yes.